Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu arsalahu bil huda wa dinil haqq liyudhhirahu 'ala ad-din kullihi walau karihal mushrikun amma ba'd fassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to this series of talks on refuting Western attacks against Islam that is occurring today on the 23rd of June of the year 2001 in the city of Houston, Texas. The first question that somebody would ask is, why are we doing this series of conferences? Last week, to give you an example, there was a letter to the editor in one of the major publications of the United States, called USA Today. And in that letter to the editor, the person wrote, "The Quran calls for the conversion or murder of all Christians and Jews." And this was a letter that was published in a national major paper. And of course, many Muslims became angry and they wrote back and the editors published that as well. But the point and the problem is that they have the gall, the audacity to print that letter in the first place. And that it's allowed to say something against Islam, and they make it politically correct by adding something afterwards by saying, oh, and we give some equal time to the Muslims. If we were to take that same statement and say, the Bible calls for the conversion or murder of all Jews, they would never have had the audacity to put that in the paper. It would never have happened. And so, we as Muslims need to be aware and concerned and take the matter in our own hands regarding these attacks that are occurring and that will continue to occur from the non-Muslims. In terms of statistics, I was listening to an interview with Jack Shaheen. And Jack Shaheen, as you know, is a professor of communications of Arab background, but not Muslim, he's Christian. And he said that there are 930 films against Arabs and Muslims by de facto, portraying Islam negatively in this country. 930 films. He said there has only been one more group of people that have had more films against them. Can anybody guess who that group is in America? Not the British, not the Nazis, not the Germans, not the blacks, not the Jewish people. The first enemy of America that's still allowed to attack them. Not Russia. The Native Americans. The Native Americans are the only race and group of people that have had more negative attacks against them in films. And it's still allowed today. And why is that? Because there's really nobody to stand up and say, excuse me, it's not proper for you to humiliate a people, a nation, and make them seem like they're ignorant and barbaric, and all you have done with them is put them in these reservations now. So if you keep quiet, they will continue. And we as Muslims, when we look around, we're so busy in our lives, and we're so busy in making money that we forget that in a few years, if we don't stop it, and this is another point that Jack Shaheen said, the same techniques that they're using against Arabs and Muslims now were the techniques that were used in Europe against the Jews. That they are backward, that they are greedy, like the oil sheikhs up today, right? Same thing with the Jews. That they are this, that they are that. He said, if you look at the way they portray the Arabs today, it is eerily similar to the way they were portraying the Jews in pre-World War II era of Europe. And then he said, look what happened to the Jews. When they weren't able to respond, when they didn't do anything, gradually the society became in a frenzy and thought it was allowed and it was okay to harm the Jews. And then we have, as we know in history, the era of the Holocaust. And we say, well, that's a far-fetched reality. I mean, that's not going to happen to us as Muslims. We're in the modern world and age. Reality is that it is happening right now. The fact that the United States is continually bombing Iraq, day after day, with no voice of concern, is the same path. It is the same result. In that, people think that it's, you know, a few people dying in Iraq, you know, not a big deal. They don't value the life of Muslims as much as they value their own people's lives. And this was the problem that happened in Europe, that the Jews became a subhuman race. And the Muslims today are on that path of becoming a subhuman race, an object of derision, an object of attack, and an object of annihilation. So why are we doing this conference? Well, before we get into more details, let us talk about the history. Islam has been attacked from its origins. And when I say its origins, I do not mean the beginning of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Quran, we are told, do you know who the first messenger that was attacked? Nuh alayhi salam. كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ وَازْدُجِرٌ. They denied, before this, the people of Nuh denied their messenger, denied our servant, and they said that he was a madman. And they insolently rebuked and threatened him. This is Surah Al-Qamar, verse 9. In fact, we're not going to go into a detailed discussion of the Qur'an, but this was the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the messengers. كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. And such, there has not come before them from any messenger except that the people of that messenger said to him, he is a madman. He is a magician. There's something wrong. So they personally attacked him. This is Surah Dhariyat, verse 52. Fir'aun mocked Musa alayhi salam. He said, Ya Haman ibn li sarhan la'alli ablugh al-asbab. Asbab al-samawati wal-ardi fa'attali'u ila ilahi Musa wa inni la'adhunnuhu kadiba. The general meaning of the verse is, Fir'aun said to Haman, Haman, I want to see this God that Musa is talking about. You know, the God in the heavens. So build me a huge tower so I can go up and let me see if he's there. Mocking him. So this is the way of the people of disbelief, that they have attacked the messengers from even before the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at the seerah of our beloved messenger as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that he was attacked personally. وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. And they said, should we leave our gods for this mad poet? And this Surah Safat, verse 36. They attacked his beliefs. They attacked the tawheed of Allah. وَعَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Surah Sa'd, verse 4. And they, general translation, and they were amazed that there has come amongst them a warner. And so the disbelievers said that he is a magician, a liar. Has he made all the gods one? This is certainly something that's very strange, very curious. So they attacked Tawheed, they attacked the beliefs. They attacked the idea of Akhirah. إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ. Surah Qaf, verse 3. When we die and we become dirt and dust, will be raised again? This is something that's far-fetched. They attack the idea of a risala. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. And what has prevented mankind from accepting the message when the guidance has come to them, except that they said, Allah has sent us a mortal as a messenger instead of an angel or something else? And so the Quran describes for us the ways and techniques of attack. It's a personal attack, and if you're taking notes, it's good to write down because we'll come back to it. A personal attack on the people or the person, the individual. It's attack on the beliefs. When we say beliefs, the primary belief that I mentioned of Tawheed, of Risala, Prophethood, Akhirah, the hereafter, they attacked. And also there was a third manner, which is general propaganda and distortions. And they did this with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. In Surah Nahl, verse 103, we are told, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِي وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. And we know that they say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught by a mortal. He couldn't come up with this himself. Somebody else taught him. And so Allah responds to that. It's a general distortion. It's a lie. He says the person that they are indicating that taught him is a foreigner. Doesn't even speak Arabic. And this Quran has come to you in an Arabic language. I mean, if indeed Muhammad ﷺ had been taught, he would be taught by somebody in that language. So Allah cuts them off at the roots of their argument. So these are the three ways historically that the Muslims and at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were attacked. But the same theme occurs throughout the history of Islam and the contact between East and West, the personal attack, attacks on the belief or general propaganda and distortion. Today we see that the personal attack is not in the form of just attacking the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's in a form of attacking the people. Oh, you know, the Palestinians, they're not human, Israelis tell us. You know the mothers of Palestinians, they don't have the same love for their children that we do. So they throw them on the battlefield and say, go die, go commit suicide. So it's an attack on the people that they're not normal. Or it's an attack on the beliefs, like the way that our women are and the family life of Islam. They attack the actual beliefs. Or the general propaganda and distortions, like we mentioned the article in USA Today, or the fact that the Muslims are all terrorists. Even the headline article is that they stopped the military exercise in the Middle East because of a threat of Muslim terrorism. So the same things are occurring today. Now, after the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Crusaders were the next major opportunity that the Kuffar used to destroy Islam. And they, at that time, they used two means, propaganda and power. The Crusaders started about 1095 and ended about 1798. 1095 was when the Pope Urban II started touring France and inciting the Christians to let's go and take Jerusalem away from the hands of the Muslims. And you know what horrible things that they're doing? They're killing the Christians, and they're barbaric people, and they just do so many horrendous things, and I can't even repeat them in the masjid, the things that, if you look at what they said about Muslims and their habits and stuff, it's unbelievable the types of lies and filth that they were spreading. And so they incited this frenzy so that the Christians came, and when they came to Jerusalem, it was easy for them to kill Muslims. Because the propaganda had started from the beginning to say that these people were not at the same level of humanity as we are, but they are lower. The Crusaders ended when the last outpost of Christians in Malta was conquered, not by Muslims, but by Napoleon. And that was in the year 1798. We're not going to go into a long discussion of this, but we need to know that there was this large amount of time of almost 700 years in which the attacks against Islam were, the propaganda was based on religious bigotry. People said, we are Christian, they are heathens. And so the propaganda was based on religious bigotry, and the power that they used was war, that they sent people to come to attack, they mortgaged their entire castles, and they spent a lot of money to come and kill us. But they did not come for money. They came out of sincere belief that their way of life was better. And many of them stole money because they lost so much money in coming down to get rid of us. But this changed. After the year 1800, the period of colonialism began. And the Europeans realized that, you know, religious bigotry is not that important because our religion is pretty, shall we say, is not as logical as we thought it was. And we had the Reformation that came. And Luther said that, you know, well, the way that you had it before was wrong and we need to change Christianity. People started believing in the nation state. That was the Napoleonic revolution. That we believe not in religion anymore as our identity, but in the nation state. And so the religious bigotry changed to a cultural bigotry. That we as a people, as a nation, are better than those foreign people, than the brown people, or the black people, or the yellow people. And so the Dutch and the British started attacking our lands, and started now attacking not because of religious reasons, but rather to make money. So it was propaganda and power with the goal of profit. Now they actually thought that they could make money. So the Dutch came to the Indonesian islands and the Malaccas and the Spice Islands and said, now we can bring spices back and make a lot of money on this. And so propaganda was used as a tool to actually justify their profit-making scheme. The British came to India and created the famous East India Tea Trading Company that was used as a basis for the British to start conquering all the other foreign lands. And in this era of colonialism, the next attack of Islam started, and this was the attack of Orientalism. And Orientalism is a belief in the political vision that basically was created to divide us from them. It was the study of the other, the study of those people. And when you talk to a British person, he would say, like Lord Balfour said in 1910, that we have a right to conquer Egypt and to rule Egypt because they themselves are not capable of ruling themselves. You know, the poor people, the brown people over there, they don't have the knowledge and understanding that we, the civilized British, do. So the missionaries would come in and start preaching Christianity, but it was as a part and parcel of being British, of being Western, of being European. It wasn't just being Christian, it was being overall European. And this was the era then of colonialism. They realized afterwards, though, that the profit became less. It wasn't easy to control all these lands far away. And so they came up with neo-colonialism, after World War II in particular, in which they said, okay, we'll leave actual forceful control of your lands, but we will still maintain the New World Order, globalization. Our firms will still be there. Only our people that are educated in our system will have an opportunity to rule your lands. And so now propaganda took on a new form. It wasn't religious anymore. It wasn't cultural anymore. It was sophisticated bigotry. Oh, Islam is good. But only this form of Islam. Not the backward form of Islam. They became more sophisticated in their idea of attacking Muslims. Because before, Muslims did not realize that when Europeans were attacking them, that they should become Europeans. They knew that we were different because it was us and them. And so Muslims didn't go, you know what, I need to become British. I need to become Western. I need to become Christian. The lines were clear. It was us versus them. So the Western powers realized that, you know what, we're not solving the problem. So they blurred the lines. And they said, oh, it's okay. You can take a lot of our culture. And so Muslims said, oh, I can be modern and Muslim? Great. And though in theory that's a great idea, but in reality what happened was, as we'll talk about, that Muslims started leaving their religion. They started being ashamed of pieces of their religion and they started becoming more and more Western. And the academic institutions were no longer Orientalist institutions per se. They were very sophisticated centers of learning. People that are living today, like Hans Kung, John Esposito, the Zwemer Institute, even Edward Said. These are people that come and say, oh, Islam is beautiful, it's wonderful. If they only change a few things. So Muslims invite these people to speak now. Because it's not like before where they were destroying Islam and saying, oh, Islam is horrible, bad. When you're attacking somebody, they won't listen. But when you're being sweet to them and you're offering them sugar, they'll go, oh, I'll take some sugar and also let me hear what else you have to say. And so these people that are still, some of them are still alive today, are very dangerous. Because they come to the Muslim land and they say, oh, Islam is wonderful and great. But you know what? You just need to change a few things. And they're, you know what they're trying to do? And I've heard them personally, and I even talked to them personally about this, and they're very offended when you find out what they're doing. What they're trying to do is to simply make Muslims treat Islam the way Christians treat Christianity. To make it secular and to be skeptical. Secular meaning that the religion has a piece, a portion of your life, but the world does as well. Separate the two. Skeptical meaning, well, we can't accept everything Islam says. I mean, after all, you know, Christianity, we know it wasn't the original teachings of the Bible, etc. So we take what we will and we leave what we will. And that feeling, if we can get it in the Muslims, then we have won. And so they come and they say, and I've heard this as well from the current president of the Zwemer Institute, and he says, you know, Muslims, what they need to do today is to be more critical in their evaluation of the Qur'an. The way that we are with the Bible. We need to start looking at the Qur'an with a fresh perspective and fresh lens. And so the goal is that you make Muslims treat Islam the way Christians treat Christianity. And this is the current attack that is occurring. So this is like a very brief history. And each of these, of course, requires essays and books about the way the Westerners attacked us in colonial times, the way they attacked us during the Crusaders, and the way they're currently doing it today. I also want to point out that Islam wasn't attacked as much in the pre- or post-World War II era relative to today. In fact, there is a direct correlation between political events and attacks on Islam. What do I mean by that? After World War II, the enemy was Russia, right? So Islam wasn't that important. It wasn't an open attack on Islam. Do you know when Islam started being attacked openly? Before the Shah. What was the first Arab attack on the West? To America in particular. The 67 war, it was a good one. The Israeli war, but at that time it wasn't still Islamic. You know, they were Palestinians. The Suez Canal is a good one, but it's really 1973 when the oil embargo, Faisal, that the doors opened up. I mean, before that, all the stories are true. But if you start looking at the amount of articles written against Arabs in Islam, you can find a direct correlation between major incidents and attacks against Islam. And the attacks became gradually more sophisticated. In 1973, the attack on when the oil embargo occurred, the attack wasn't against Islam. Who was it against? The Arabs. Okay? It was the Arabs. After that, it was the Shah of Iran. It wasn't the Arabs anymore, it was the Shias. Okay? So now it was Shiite Islam versus Sunnite Islam. That's what they were saying in the press a lot. Well, the Sunnis are okay, it's the Shia that are all bad. And then after that, it was the Intifada. When the Intifada occurred in the mid-80s, before that when Israel, you know, had a problem with the Arabs, you know, it wasn't as severe as it was during the Intifada. And then they didn't know what to do. And it was Hamas now. It was an Islamic movement that was leading it. And so Israel started funding a lot of think tank and institutions to attack fundamentalist Islam. So So now you see the gradual change. It was Arabs, then it became Shias, then it became fundamentalist Islam until the World Trade Center bombing occurred. And then it was now Islam, Islamic terrorists. And they're still trying to say, well, there are good Muslims and bad Muslims. But I want to point out that in the modern age of neocolonialist attacks on Islam, there's a direct correlation between the political events that occurred and the status of attacks that they had against us. So we have to be aware of the politics, and we have to also be aware of these institutions and these sheeps or wolves in sheep's clothing that are coming to Muslim institutions and Muslim countries, telling us about our religion, and meanwhile, as they leave their little seeds of doubt in our hearts. So this is a brief history of the attacks.